Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, filling in for the Greg Hill Show on this Memorial Day Monday. Entering hour three of the program, Mego. Today is flying by. Normally, you and I don't do four-hour programs, this is our like second one in the last month. I got to tell you, they've been flying by.
Could be a thing. Could be a thing.
Could be. Could be a thing.
Just sending a note to programming upstairs.
Hey.
Could be a thing.
Could be a thing.
Anytime.
Anytime. Anytime you need it.
We got more nightmares to talk about.
Oh,
yeah.
Plenty.
Possible alien abduction memories?
Absolutely. Speaking of nightmares, by the way, there seems to be a gentleman on the phone who wants to comment on my recurring nightmare. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. I had a comment on Cheyenne's nightmare. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jackson. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I have some explanation on the nightmare. When I have trouble sleeping, it helps to watch someone else peacefully resting.
Ooh.
So approximately 113 times over the past several years, I've made my way to Shine's home. Have no fear, brother. That really old car you see is mine. If you look closer, you'll notice the donut tires. The big hulking gentleman in the plaid shirt is actually yours truly. The sack on my head? An empty burlap sack of potatoes from Costco I use as a night sleeping cap. And the hatchet I'm holding, it's actually a plunger, as I often like to drop a deuce in your bathroom before I leave. I mean no harm, Shine, and I don't mean to be creepy to you, brother. I just like to watch you sleep.
I appreciate that, Jackson. Thank you so much for the call.
That's
no hill notes today.
That's a pretty good voice.
It's pretty good.
Tremendous. That guy's, I told him he's a hero to all of us at the station.
No hill notes today. You can leave a hill note each and every day for the Greg Hill Show. All you got to do is go to the Odyssey app. There's a little microphone. You can click it. Record your hill note. We do those every day, basically, at about 9:30 or so on the Greg Hill Show. So feel free to leave those. No hill notes today. So I'm glad Jackson Guy was able to call in and really help break down my nightmare. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Filling in a lot of the holes.
It's nice to know like the reality behind it, that it's not just something that's scrambled in your brain or that you're emotionally exhausted. It's because a creepy guy is just creeping into your room.
Yeah, it just likes to watch me sleep. That's
with
all.
A plunger.
Hey, you know.
Okay, I wanted to ask you this.
Yes, you have a question.
I was thinking
me.
About this. What is something, I want to call this a social media rabbit hole.
Okay.
And for me, it's Instagram Reels because I'm not on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm on the TikTok.
What is something that got served to you that you've fallen down a complete rabbit hole with? And I'll give you mine first
okay,
while you
please.
Think about this. Where somehow I started getting these AI videos of cars and it's different makes and models of cars and how they perform under different circumstances. So it'll be here's a Honda Civic doing 80 miles per hour.
Trying to dodge the two trucks?
Or over 16 speed bumps. And then they'll be like, next up, it's this car. I don't want to say more because I don't
next
know what our brands are.
Next, school bus.
Yeah, next. Yes. Or they'll be like, here's a Model T. And I'm like, well, I got to see what the Model T is going to do.
This is going to
be crazy.
Do.
And they'll have like a tire blowout and it'll fly into a road sign and catch on fire.
Yes, I know exactly
the
what you're
way
about.
That I lose 35 minutes of my life. Watching, I think AI overall is pretty bad. It's pretty bad for our culture. It's pretty bad for the world. I think it's not going to be great for us.
So
I think we're going to lose this battle long term. But in the short term, the AI videos of the cars doing all sorts of like.
I got fooled on one of those videos. I watched two cars battle traversing up a really strong river. And I was watching it for like.
Why were the cars in a river?
I don't know. I watched it for like 14 minutes before I realized it was not real.
It was a 14 minute long video.
maybe it was not that long, but I watched it for a good amount of time.
Are you sure you were awake, Jackson?
Yeah, no, this is not a dream. But the rabbit hole I get stuck through is gourmet cooking.
Oh yeah,
believe it or not.
Oh, I love seeing all the different like dishes, especially the guys who do like ASMR cooking. So they'll cook like really
good. You like
good...
guys whispering to you while they cook?
No. So they'll cook like really good fried chicken, and the sound of like the knife scraping across the chicken, or like chopping.
Oh, I
the
hate
chicken.
That noise. Like people putting their silverware on the plate.
I like watching Michelin star chefs. It's fine. I don't know why I'm fascinated by them.
Okay, mine is you mentioned AI. One of mine is the new AI baby videos.
What do you mean?
Have you not seen these?
Is it where they predict combining the people with
their babies? No. So they take famous videos, but make everybody babies.
Wasn't Snapchat just doing that with a filter like years ago?
Yeah, but like, so they've made it so you can go back and you can see like one of the things that pops up all the time on TikTok is like Theo Von comedy, like his podcast pops up all the time. And so like there's videos of like him as a baby and it's just like his podcast, but he's like a baby. Or like
do
one
they
of
do
my
a
favorite
baby voice?
No, but like the baby's moving its mouth like it's actually talking. So like for the Star Wars fans out there, episode 3, where it's like the Anakin and Obi-Wan face off on, I think it's Mustafar, and like that whole speech that the nerds love, that is done as two babies. Tremendous. Or there's like clips of like My Cousin Vinny, but everybody's babies.
Ooh, I like
that. Or The Sopranos, but everybody's babies.
I saw one, it was a baby Sam Kinison doing stand-up. That was really fun.
Yeah, tremendous. The baby videos are good. And then I also get caught in the wormhole of, because I'm on TikTok, it's relatively all short-form content.
Okay.
And so I fall into the wormhole of the people who like rip Mr. Beast videos.
Oh, I thought you were going to say people who rip something in church, because I get served a lot of those on Instagram.
Oh, no.
Reels. Instagram Reels is just people farting in church all the time. I'm sure that I like I laughed and liked one so hard that
I mean,
just
laugh
like
at a good fart.
That now it's just like church farts because it like echoes.
I get those too, but I also get that on
that doesn't shock me.
When, Jackson, my algorithm are very similar.
When Jackson, you know those
getting,
giant,
we're just getting car video, car AI videos,
cars
and church
farts.
You know those giant inflatable dinosaur costumes, which I love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love it when somebody farts in the exhaust hole.
Ew.
And then, and then the guy in the dinosaur
like a jackass
costume.
Prank.
Yeah, it seems like, but people are doing it online a lot these days, and the guy in the costume just goes nuts, and it's a funny-looking dinosaur just flopping around trying to get out of it.
Okay, this is what I'll say, though. Like, brands, because everybody's so concerned about social media and the influencers yep. and all of that, these big brands, these car brands have to look at the AI videos, because yep. they're calling out your make and models, and there was a car that, like, I love. Mm-hmm. It's my dream car. I think it's so cute. And I was watching one of these AI videos, and they were saying, here's what happens when these cars crash into a Mack truck at 80 miles per hour.
Any and car that crashes into a Mack truck is going to get obliterated.
No, some of them did really well. Of course, like the Volvos, you know, you think the safest cars. You're like,
yeah,
wow.
Five-star safety
yeah,
ratings.
Yeah, you're like, wow, that one's like, that one holds up awesome. This particular one just smashed into, like, looked like the end of the Brave Little Toaster. It was a little pancake. I was like, oh, my God, I'm not getting that car. Uh-huh. These brands have to be aware that these AI videos are out there and they're going to be changing people's opinions of the cars.
Interesting.
I don't know if they're accurate at all, but I can't get that visual out of my memory.
Definitely probably, they might be a little, but probably not.
No,
it's
I'm
more
sure
so just somebody in like GTA,
oh,
like
you
screwing
think that
around.
They're doing like, do you think that they're doing deep research on what a Model T would do going over 16 speed bumps? Like these are so stupid.
Yeah. You and I have very different wormholes. Like I'll watch like, the Mr. Beast challenge, like how many days can a guy spend in a grocery store by himself? And like every day he has to, in order to get the $10,000 a day, he has to sell back $10,000 worth of stuff from the grocery store to Mr. Beast.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just, I just like, I'm, and I'll just like watch this entire YouTube video, but it's on TikTok. So I have to scroll
yeah,
every 30 seconds.
I'm not really
seconds,
that interested
minute.
In like people's challenges. I don't
I
like
those.
That side of it. People being like, I'm doing this challenge, I'm doing that challenge.
Also, what's the deal with like, so I also kind of like the it's like the Reddit stories, and then they just put the AI voice to it to tell the story from Reddit. Have you
my
seen
my fiance's no. mother listens to those literally constantly
oh, I love
all day.
Reddit, though.
I like them. I like them a lot. But what is it with like the Minecraft just like video in the back B-roll in the background while
oh,
the
I haven't even seen these.
Yeah, yeah.
I
so it happens a lot in actually a ton of videos. It's either like Minecraft or like with your cars just like going downhill and seeing if
I
it can make it down
forever.
A downhill successfully like over all these bumps while like a podcast or just audio is playing in the background.
I
it's
feel
really
like
weird.
I need to have a child now because this would make me the ultimate boy mom. If I could be like, look, we're going to do this together.
Cars!
We're going to sit and watch the cars explode. And we're going to see what the Honda Civic is able to do.
Were
Let's
you always
go.
The fan of like a demolition derby at a
no,
fair?
No, I've been to one.
Oh, okay.
The agricultural fair, the local fair came around in my town.
Mm-hmm.
Tells you a little bit about where I'm from in Maryland. So we'd go to the demolition derby, but it was not, I've never been a car person. I don't know anything about cars.
Yeah.
Just something about this AI generated car thing has sucked me in. I'm not kidding.
Are you doing more research on cars now? You're just like,
looking
up?
I'm not kidding. Last night I started because I was thinking I was watching another one of these videos and I was like, wow, that's an expensive car and it really sucks going over the speed bumps. So I started looking up worst cars to buy in 2025 and 2024. Let's just say my car has really good, maintains its value.
There you go.
Except for me driving it.
Good for you.
My father-in-law, because I went there over the weekend, he was like, you got some new scratches on the side of your car. I was like, I do.
Wait, are you avoiding Mack trucks? Are you testing out the AI videos?
No, I just park in the city, so
that's true.
The paint job is done for.
617-779-7937. I'll entertain this call. Franco in Fall River. What's up, Franco?
Shy.
What's up?
But you talk about a freaking nightmare. It's me waking up, listening to you on the mic for 4 hours. Reason number 794.
Franco's got an audience in the background.
Jackson Rolls and Shine stinks.
Thank you, Franco. That's another Hill Notes guy who says I stink every day on Hill Notes.
Oh, I like that.
He had an audience. It must have been his girlfriend.
Yeah,
or his
Franco
wife.
And his wife love to hate on you.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
Nice.
They do it together. It's nice.
Yeah, it's
at least they have something in common. I'm glad I can unite those two people. I'm happy.
So many people are saying that the Cars videos are from video games. So I need to learn this video game. You can put a Model T over 16 speed bumps? That sounds awesome.
It's probably just like GTA, right?
It doesn't look
like
it. No,
probably like a mobile game, maybe.
No, but like, because I would assume it's just Grand Theft Auto because like the Grand Theft Auto 5 has now been modded so many different times to do so many millions of different things.
Okay, we're using
online.
Verbs now that I don't know what they mean.
Modified and adjusted. And so like kind of people have been able to get into the source code and change it and kind of manipulate it however they want to basically make whole new things that you can do within the game.
And they say we can't compete with China.
Yeah, right.
We're sending our Model Ts over 16 speed bumps.
Granted, they can't release Grand Theft Auto 6 until like next May, but you know, who's counting?
Who's waiting on that?
Yeah, 617, just Greg. 617-779-7937. Mega and Shine filling in for the Greg Hill Show here on WEEI. But right now, let's get you caught up with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox fell to the Orioles yesterday 5-1. They end up splitting the four-game series with Baltimore. Marcelo Meyer ended up 2-for-4 with a run scored in his second career start. The Sox are out in Milwaukee to take on the Brewers this afternoon. First pitch, 2:10 right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game for you this afternoon. Joe Weil will get you ready with the MassMutual pregame show at 1:10. MassMutual Insurance Planning Investments. The Knicks overcame a 20-point deficit in Game 3 against the Pacers to get their first win in the series, 106-100. Oklahoma City and Minnesota face off in Game 4 of their series tonight. Tip-off for that one's at 8:30. OKC currently leads two games to one. The Edmonton Oilers beat the Dallas Stars yesterday afternoon 6-1. They take a 2-1 series lead in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the West. And in the East, the Panthers look to close out the East Finals as they host the Hurricanes tonight. Puck drop for that one is at 8. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Good one, Jackson. Mega and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, filling in for the Greg Hill Show here on a Memorial Day Monday, taking you up until 10 a.m. this morning.
Who was that?
Jackson, help me out.
Do you know Mega?
No, I don't.
Oh,
have a huge blind spot with hair bands and 80s metal.
That is Cheap Trick.
Okay, that's I assumed is. It was someone like that.
Dream Police.
Who does Dream Warriors?
That's Dawkin.
About Dream Weaver.
That's Gary.
That song rocks.
That's absolutely.
There's
that
your
song
next
rocks.
Rejoin.
That's from Wayne's World, right?
Not originally, but.
Well, that's what I think of it as.
Yeah, that's where it got
Wayne's
popular.
World.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, Dream Warriors was the song from the Freddy Krueger movie.
Was it? Yeah. I believe that was Dawkin.
Oh, we're going to get into our summer movies later in the show.
Yes, we will. We will give you our top five summer movies.
These are not necessarily movies that came out in the summer, many of them did as
more
summer
so
blockbusters.
More so summer-themed
movies that say it's summer, it's based on something that happens in the summer. Maybe it's a summer camp movie. Maybe it's a summer vacation movie.
Yep.
It's a summer movie.
Exactly. Thank you. Excellent clarification. Mego and I have talked about just about everything this morning, from dreams and nightmares to Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, everything in between.
AKA all the same thing.
The Boston Red Sox, yeah, also a dream and a nightmare at times. But Mego, I wanted to do a quick Celtics kind of season in review, if you will. And I wanted to start off with this because I look at what has happened so far in the Eastern Conference Finals between the Pacers and Knicks, and neither of these teams inspire me much, and it feels like a massive disappointment that the Celtics kind of got as bounced as early as they did, because we deserved a Celtics at full strength versus Oklahoma City NBA Finals, and we're not going to get that, and it feels like now Oklahoma City's kind of going to just walk to their first NBA title, and to me that's a massive failure on the part of the Boston Celtics, who were going for a repeat, and I understand that expectations were high, but this Knicks team is just not that good.
No, they're not. And they're not. And we said that the entire series with against the Celtics, which was on the one hand so frustrating because the Knicks took both those games at home to start the series. And then you see it happen to them with the Pacers. And the Pacers are good. Don't get me wrong. The Pacers are good. And they're basically four deep, like strong on their in terms of their starters. Haliburton is certainly at this point an underrated guy.
Yep, not like, overrated.
If you're here today, are you taking Haliburton or Brunson? It's a conversation is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a debate is all. You're probably still taking Brunson, but it's a debate. And when Brunson is all NBA and Haliburton is this fringe guy that's not even in the conversation until these playoffs, I think it's a worthwhile thing to look at.
And I would especially consider Haliburton just because I don't necessarily love the way in which Jalen Brunson plays, like the foul fishing and the just being a free throw merchant. I don't necessarily love that avenue of success, but I mean, it works for him and he's good at it.
Yeah, so either way, I think both these series are done. I look, Minnesota shows you something nice in game three. The Knicks do their typical down 20 comeback, awesome fourth quarter from Karl Anthony Towns. Both these series are done to me. It's going to be Pacers, OKC, and yeah, OKC is probably going to win. This is what NBA owners want. This is what they want.
They want OKC, the parity. Indiana?
That's what they've spelled out with the new CBA. That's what they want. They want it to be anybody's championship any year. No dynasties. You don't get Celtics, Lakers. You get OKC and the Pacers.
Yeah,
that's the way it turns out. You give these smaller markets a chance.
But after such a successful start, TV ratings-wise, to the NBA playoffs, it's like just progressively getting worse.
Yeah, and
you're getting smaller markets and not as exciting teams and not as many superstars. And it's just like, what are we doing? Like, it feels almost like counterproductive.
Here's two things. One, I do think it's interesting that the stars that you will be able to see include like Chet Holmgren, somebody who was in a recent draft. You see Jalen Brunson, you see Tyrese Haliburton, SGA is Canadian, but a lot of American guys. I do think that's kind of interesting because I wonder how much it matters that when you look at the NBA votes that just came out and you see that it was SGA, it's Jokic, of course, it's Giannis, and then you get Tatum in there. Like, the last American NBA MVP that we had was James Harden. And what was that, 2018?
Interesting.
Like, that is kind of nuts. And I know that the NBA really prides itself on being this global game, and that's where they cite a lot of their success recently, and that seems to be what matters to them. But at the same time, like, is it something that people care about? Can they just, like, love on Luka? Can they love on Jokic? And they don't care that they're not from a UNC or a Duke, you know, or like a Kentucky? Does that matter anymore? And at the same time, if you have a LeBron James and a Steph Curry, and those are American players who you follow through with LeBron, like their high school career,
sure.
And Curry, he bursts out of Davidson after having an awesome showing in those NCAA in that bracket. Like, would that help the league if you have an American star that's rising?
I think a lot of, especially younger fans, probably don't even realize that SGA is Canadian and not from the United States. So, like, I think that alone, like, that right there is one reason why, like, I don't think that the younger generation really cares. And if the older generation cared, I feel like people wouldn't put down Jason Tatum as much as they do, because he's the closest thing you have to an American MVP. And if there was really a clamoring for that and a thirst for an American MVP to kind of reassert himself, you would think by proxy then Jason Tatum would be the guy they would try to prop up. And yet it feels like he is constantly disrespected by people outside of the Boston market.
Absolutely. So that brings me to my next question.
Okay.
I have a list here. Who do you think is most likely to be the next NBA MVP who is American?
Okay.
Here are your options.
Options? All right.
Jason Tatum, Anthony Edwards, Cade Cunningham, Donovan Mitchell, and Cooper Flagg.
So I'll rank them for you. I think number one will probably be Anthony Edwards, just because people seem to love him. They love the way he kind of carries himself, especially in the playoffs. He's that dog. Like, people gravitate towards that. He's a young star on the rise. So I would say Anthony Edwards one. I would honestly put Cooper Flagg two. Like, I think if Cooper Flagg goes to the Mavericks and is playing like lights out awesome with Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, that's immediately going to put him in the spotlight.
First of all, those two are not going to play lights out. Anthony Davis is going to play like 30 games a year.
I didn't say
Kyrie's coming off an ACL.
Yeah, I didn't say they would play lights out. I said Cooper Flagg would.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
Cooper Flagg's playing lights out. Those two guys are on the court.
Dallas is a big enough market, especially at least in the NBA, that he will be kind of in front of the spotlight, at least. Like, he won't be buried in New Orleans or buried in Utah or San Antonio even. Like, he's going to have an opportunity to really kind of assert himself if he's good enough to do so in the NBA. And then three, I would put Jason Tatum. I think Jason Tatum, like, having the championship.
You put Jason Tatum, likelihood to win NBA MVP in the regular season, behind Cooper Flagg?
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg will do that before Jason Tatum?
I think it would be more likely, yeah. I look at the narrative surrounding Tatum across the country.
But it's not just about narrative, Shime. It's about basketball writers who are watching this, and, like, you talk about nerds in football.
He wasn't even close
this year.
This
is a nerd appreciation.
He had a great season. He wasn't even close in the voting. Like, he was, I think the chasm between him and Giannis was greater than the chasm between Giannis and Jokic.
I'll pull it up.
And Jokic should have come even closer to SGA than he did. I don't think Tatum even got like 100 points in the votes.
I'm pulling it up.
Yeah, and so I don't think people see Tatum the same way we see Jason Tatum.
Here were the total votes. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got 213 total. Nikola Jokic got 787. Giannis got 470. Tatum got 31.
That's my point. Like, the drop-off is insane.
These are first-place votes. So this is weighted. So, like, for example, Donovan Mitchell got 74, but it's weighted because then you have second-place votes and all this stuff.
Yeah, but again, like, Jason Tatum just doesn't get the same respect because the rest of the team is so talented, because they were the reigning champs. Like, he doesn't get the credit that we believe he deserves.
Here's what's going to be different, though, is that if they're breaking down the payroll and they're trying to get under the second apron, which they're certainly, I think, going to try to do this summer, and Tatum, this all hinges on him coming back from a terrible ACL injury,
yep,
and rehabbing and being the all-NBA caliber player that he's been, then it is more on him than it's been in the past.
Yeah, like, but I mean, Jaylen Brown will still be there.
I don't think Jaylen Brown's going anywhere,
yeah,
and I don't think Derek White's going anywhere. But that becomes a much more prototypical NBA roster. Like, most rosters are duos or three superstar, at least fringe all-star level guys.
Sure.
And so then one of the knocks against Jason Tatum has been, well, he's got this huge roster around him. He's got so much supporting staff, so it's never going to be a heliocentric thing with him playing basketball. He's got to spread it around and all this and that until, like, he's out one game, and all of a sudden people are like, oh, does the ball actually stick with Tatum? Because they're stupid. And I hated that conversation, and I'm glad it only lasted one game. But I think that he could be different in a way where the points per game are certainly up, assuming that he comes back healthy and strong and has a, like, quick rebound from this. I think that it could be more of like a Kevin Durant style season rather than what we've seen from him, which is 26 points per game, 27 points per game. Because I agree, he's going to have to be up like at 30 points per game, and he's going to have to show something different to get above Jokic's triple-double machine.
Yeah, and that, and I think that's the biggest thing is Jokic is going to be there. Every season he's healthy, he is going to be in the MVP conversation just because he is a literal walking triple-double. Like, that's just who Nikola Jokic is, and so he's always going to be in this conversation. And if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander continues to rise and continue to improve, I mean, he's only going to be more difficult to beat.
Yeah, then he's a freak.
Then you still throw in the Giannis to me is fading a little bit, but like he still has to be in the conversation. You know, who knows how Joel Embiid eventually, if he ever comes back.
No.
Like, it's just there's, and then on top of it, the younger players like the Anthony Edwards, who are the guy in Minnesota, right? There isn't, it's Julius Randle is there, but everybody knows like it's
Rudy.
Okay, yeah, but everybody knows it's Anthony Edwards' team. He is kind of the focal point. He is the guy that is facing the cameras. He is the one talking. He is the big name. He is the superstar. So, like, I just think between Tatum's personality and the style in which he plays basketball, I just don't know that it's ever going to work for him to get MVP because I think he could do similar things to what Jokic does in that he could average, you know, 25-10-7, 25-10-8, but it's just not going to be, he would have to do it more than Jokic, and I just don't know that that's possible.
Yeah, I'm going to say I still think it's Tatum. I still think it's going to be Tatum who reaches it first, because Anthony Edwards, I think it's still going to take a couple more years until
he's up
at that MVP level. He's not even, you know, finishing top of these lists.
No, he needs Tatum to average 35 a game, basically.
Tatum's at least on the list, and yeah. We don't even talk about somebody like Donovan Mitchell because he's stuck in Cleveland, and he's somebody who's only 28 years old. Like, I feel like everybody just glosses over that, but the truth is, it's the itches. It's like Jokic, Doncic, these guys are dominating it, and then SGA just kind of explodes out of...
left out Luka.
Yeah, explodes out of nowhere, and I do wonder, like, I just wonder if there is... The popularity of the NBA will always hinge on the top 5 to 10 players to me.
Yep.
The popularity of the top 5 to 10 players. And if you're looking at the top 5 players and the top 3 players in the league are not American, I just wonder if people go, well, I don't know where that guy went to college. I don't know where he's from. I don't know where
there's not as much backstory.
He lives.
Not as much lore.
I don't know what his deal is. I don't know if he writes little notes on his shoes for his mom. You know, like people get into all this stuff with the NBA players. And it's like, what do we know about Jokic? His horses and
his
brothers.
His horses.
He likes his horses and his brothers. And he wants to go home before the parade. Yep. Like, that's just not a whole lot. What do we know about Luka? He likes weird European beers.
I don't know that I've heard SGA ever say anything.
That's what I mean. And what do you know about Anthony Edwards? Far too much. We know if you Google Anthony Edwards, you will learn more than you want to. Far too much out there.
Has a large appendage, as
what?
He's told. He said that to people on the court.
Oh, I was just talking about like off court drama.
Oh, well, that too.
In his personal life.
Yeah, that
but
exists as
you
well.
You throw that out there. That's what your algorithm is feeding you.
Well, yeah. Courtney did a lead on it one time. It was a whole thing. Like he, you know, he said my D is bigger than yours. You know.
Well, that's not like scientific proof. That's
true.
Just something that he said on the court.
Yeah, you're right. There's not like video evidence to back it up or anything like that.
that we know of.
Yeah, that's fine. But no, I don't know. I think Tatum not being as kind of like look at me as a lot of other players are sometimes. He doesn't crave that kind of spotlight. And I think that is unfortunately to his detriment. I think it makes him a player I would want on my basketball team like 10 times out of 10 because I know all he cares about is winning and playing basketball and he doesn't care about the other stuff as much. But I think in terms of being flashy, being the face of the NBA, being an MVP type thing, I don't know that he's ever going to reach that height.
Well, Shime, here's the other side of it that I would say also, because when he comes back, the roster will be different.
Sure.
And it'll probably be more on him to put up more points per game, and that will lead towards the MVP, as I said before.
But he also has to come back as strong,
right,
too.
So let's say come back as strong. I'm just penciling that in because we all hope for the best. This is the first time that Tatum is going to have a narrative that people invest in.
That's true.
What was Tatum's narrative before? Tatum's narrative before was great high school player, loving mother, goes to Duke for a year, great program, comes out already like pretty polished, great rookie season, keeps getting in the Eastern Conference Finals, can't really break through, loving present dad, None of this is like the hero arc that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. This is the first narrative that people are going to grasp onto. If Tatum comes back and, okay, he's like rusty at first and he looks a little uncomfortable, and then he starts getting back to 26 points per game, 27 points per game. He starts getting in the paint. He changes his game a little bit, puts up a little post-up game. It's a little different. People will be like, this is the greatest comeback from an injury that we can remember in basketball. Like, it'll be, people will root for that,
yeah.
I think, from an individual level, that they've never gotten the opportunity for Jason Tatum before, because they're just like, oh, yeah, it's always good for Tatum. This is the first time that I think people will be outside of Boston, where he's beloved. People will have something that they're connecting with him. They'll remember the wheelchair video. They'll remember what he went through with his rehab and the phone call that we heard about to his dad. And and then they'll have a connection with him that I think they felt like there was distance before.
I asked this just because I think you're more in the in this world than I am. But like, when it comes to the NFL MVP, I feel like very, very strongly it is entirely narrative driven. Mm. Outside of that, like, sure, the stats and the wins matter, but it is almost entirely narrative driven. Do you feel the same way about the NBA MVP, or is the NBA MVP generally just the highest scoring player on the best team in basketball?
I think voters are very concerned. I'm not a voter, but I think voters are generally very concerned with the historical perspective that it will have.
Okay.
And so looking at it and saying, where does this person fit in the league at this moment, in the game at this moment? And I think that there is that voter fatigue, and that played a lot into SGA winning it over Jokic,
sure,
where those two were pretty even, I think.
Yeah, because this, like, would be Jokic, what, 4 out of 5 if he
right.
won this year?
And people would look at it and say, well, was Jokic really that dominant in the league? Like, do we want to prove that he was so dominant in the league that he wins 4 out of 5? That doesn't really feel right. It feels like the league is kind of turning a corner now and changing, and in this passing the baton, or whatever you want to say it, and SGA represents a big part of that. And when those two are even like that, I think that's why it turns that way. That's my personal opinion. I think a lot of times you see the voter fatigue, but at some point people go, well, LeBron did earn it. LeBron was the face of the league. LeBron was the dominant one at this point. And so I think a lot of it revolves around that.
All right, 617-779-7937. You want to weigh in on the Celtics season coming to a disappointing end, Jason Tatum, and the possibility of him winning an MVP once he's back at full health with your Boston Celtics. It's Mego and Shime here filling in for the Greg Hill Show on a Memorial Day Monday. Has a large appendage. That was Jaylen Brown on NBC 10. Talking about what to look forward to here in the city of Boston and his time with the Boston Celtics. And I think what Jaylen Brown has in front of him right now is an opportunity to really kind of, make a name for himself seems too, I don't think it's the right way to say it, but it's like just to kind of assert himself as a dominant force, not only just like, he wants to do it in the community, but also kind of in the Boston sports scene. With Jason Tatum being out for the entire year, it is the Jaylen Brown team. It is the Jaylen Brown show. Now, Mego, how do you think that'll go? Do you think you'll be able to rise to the occasion? Kind of what do you expect from Jaylen Brown in a season without Jason Tatum?
Well, first of all, we have to expect that he's coming back from that meniscus tear, that he's not going to have surgery. It's what it sounded like with Brad Stevens last week, is that the time off is going to be beneficial enough. With there, I think what's interesting is Jaylen saying, Boston is home and I've been here for 10 years. Kind of reminding people, like, he's got roots here at this point.
Yeah.
And you listen to both him and Jason talk, like, it wasn't the easiest transition as super young guys to move to this city and find their place in locally. But both of those guys are super beloved. So I think for Jaylen Brown, who are the Celtics when Jaylen Brown is the number one? I think they're like the sixth seed in the East. You know, depending on the other teams and how they do, how the younger guys play, if Peyton Pritchard's around and he's your starting point guard, if you move on from Jrue Holiday, I don't know. There's so much up in the air, but I think that's kind of where you land with Jaylen Brown. And I think that's fine for an offseason.
Yeah.
I think what we need to expect, and you never know what will happen, but these ideas that, like, Jaylen Brown, because he's clearly the second most valuable piece, and besides Jason Tatum, and nobody's moving off Jason Tatum right now as he comes back from the surgery, is that you're going to be riding with Jalen next year. I would be very surprised if they turn and move Jalen to get back picks that then they flip to somebody else, or if they move him for the number two pick and go for Dylan Harper and try to develop him into something for when Tatum comes back. I just don't think that that, even with trying to dump salary and get something back, I don't think that they're looking to go into a full blow it up around Tatum, use this time to build out an entire new supporting cast. Because also, like, if you listen to somebody like Dominique Wilkins talk about when he came back from his Achilles at this point, you know, 30 plus years ago, but part of it was having the stability of guys who he knew around him.
Yeah.
Do you want Jason Tatum coming back and relearning his body and his comfort and all of that with a bunch of strangers, or even more aggressively than that, young guys who are trying to find their own footing? Like, do you want to turn this into some kind of Portland Trailblazer situation?
Yeah.
Where you've got a bunch of young picks who are out there running around? Like, yeah. I don't think so.
It makes way more sense to bring him back into a team that has Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, and then insert random big man here. Like, that, it becomes a lot easier for him to reacclimate to an NBA where he is familiar with his teammates, familiar with how they want to run the offense, familiar with all of those things, because then he can focus more on, especially mentally, just his body and being recovered than having to worry about all of the other relationships on the court.
And from a human aspect,
yeah,
just having the guys who know him, who know who he's been, what he's going through, know his family,
yep,
like have known him for years and years, I would think that that would be a much more confidence boosting situation to be in. And it really is all about your stars. And I continue to say, when you're going into the draft, what you're dreaming for, Dreamweaver, and crossing your fingers for, is a Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, year after year situation. And I think that when these guys are in their late 20s, if you want to be that aggressive, you just don't even think about flipping that. I think it's silly to think that you're going to be moving off Jaylen Brown this summer.
I completely agree with you. And you had mentioned, like, without Jason Tatum, you think this team is still what, like a 5 or 6 seed? Because
yeah.
I look at the playoff standings from this year. Without Jason Tatum, this team's better than that Milwaukee Bucks team that finished 5th.
Well, yeah, but they were a disaster.
Yeah, sure. But okay, but they're also better than that Pistons team that finished 6th. Like, that Pistons team was tough in the playoffs and they had a tough series with the Knicks, and that's great, but like, this team without Jason Tatum is still better than that Pistons team.
I'd agree. The only thing is that they do have Cade Cunningham, so they do have their star. And then you start getting into a conversation like, oh, well, who's better, Cade Cunningham or Jaylen Brown? And to me, then it starts to feel like, well, any given night. And that's kind of the difference between being all NBA and being all-star level.
Sure. And I think a lot of what's going to come down, it's going to come down to next season and kind of like where they fall in the regular season, is how healthy is Jaylen Brown throughout the course of
right.
the year.
That's
because he is going
thing.
To have to carry, coming off this knee injury, he is going to have to carry the load night in and night out almost. And so if he's able to do that and maintain health throughout the regular season, they could be as high as a 3 seed, in my opinion. But if he stumbles at all due to injury, or just with the massive amount of pressure of carrying a team, almost not by himself, but primarily on his shoulders, then you could see them fall closer to that 6-7 range.
It's also going to be a fascinating year for Joe Mazzulla.
Agreed.
Who I believe will be coming back.
You'll find
back.
Out if he can actually coach.
Well, not only that, but it's just a very different look of a team than what he had before. It kind of reminds me of when Brad Stevens started with the Celtics as a coach. Everybody loved him to death because his teams were constantly overachieving for mm-hmm. what you thought they were going to be based on the roster. And it was like, oh, he's such a college coach. Like, he just has such a basketball mind. And then the big conversation when Kyrie and Gordon Hayward got to town, and especially when Gordon Hayward got hurt, was, can he manage Kyrie? Now we see if he's really an NBA coach. Can he manage these egos? These were the debates people on the radio yep. were having. And now I think with Joe Mazzulla, it's kind of like the opposite. It's like, okay, can he get this team off the mat? And
can he get more from players you don't expect a lot from?
Yeah, yeah. And I think the Celtics development team has done a crazy good job of that with guys
Agreed.
Like Derek White and Luke Kornet. And you can go down the roster.
Peyton Pritchard.
Peyton Pritchard, certainly. Somebody who was asking out a couple of years ago. So there are cases of that. It's just night to night on the like starting level. Are we going to see that from Joe Mazzulla? It'll be an interesting season either way.
100%. Let's go to real quick. Charlie in Boston is nervous about Jaylen Brown. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, guys. Well, guy and girl, whatever. So my only thing is, like, if Jaylen Brown is, like, super successful as the leader of the team, like, what happens when Tatum does come back? Does he just, like, give the reins back to Tatum? Or, like, I mean, the guys are going to be playing a different style of ball all year. Like, I just don't know what happens when Jaylen or when Tatum comes back into the fold.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Charlie, I think that's a really good question. If Jaylen Brown comes in and the Celtics find a lot of success in the regular season and maybe even into the playoffs without Jason Tatum, how is that transition back to including Jason Tatum?
In a way, I think it makes Tatum's transition back easier.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because it lightens the load. It's kind of like if you have, I don't know, if you had Drake May playing with Saquon Barkley. Like, I don't know if Jaylen Brown's going to be the Saquon Barkley
running for 2,000 yards
of wings, but it relieves the load a little bit of going, you know, you don't have to be Superman every single night, and you don't have to all of a sudden go back to exactly who you were before the injury. It alleviates the pressure. I think that would be, I understand people are worried about the ego battle of, okay, do we go back to who's number one? But I think that all in all, that would make things easier.
What if, okay, enter this hypothetical world with me. What if Jaylen Brown is really, really good next year to the point where he's averaging, let's say, just over 30 points a game? And as you pointed out, NBA writers are looking for some narratives sometimes. Mm-hmm. And what if he finds himself firmly in the MVP conversation? Does Jason Tatum then, upon his return, feel jaded? Is there an issue there? Like, does that then become an issue for the Boston Celtics?
No.
And understand, like, again, this is a very hypothetical world.
Yeah, I just think that's so far-flung. Finals MVP, Eastern Conference MVP, I'm not taking anything away from that honor. It's a different, it's based on a moment in time. It's not based on an entire season.
Sure, and I get that. But, again, without Jason Tatum, as we've already said, like, this is going to fall primarily on Jaylen Brown. So if they're a one or two seed in the East with Jaylen Brown leading the way and he's averaging around 30 points a game, like, that conversation has to be had, right?
Yeah, I just don't think it'll be ever had.
Okay,
I don't think ever will be had.
All right, had to ask the question.
It would be great if it was. I would be super happy for Jaylen, and I think that would be an extremely fun team for us to talk about. The threshold to even be in the MVP conversation is so high and so difficult, and I would never take anything away from Jaylen because he has been finals MVP.
Yep.
But that's about a series versus a season. Season MVP, regular season MVP is just so difficult to win.
617-779-7937. Mego and Chime here. That's how you can call in. You can weigh in on the Celtics. You can weigh in on the Patriots. You can weigh in on the Red Sox. Nightmares. Or what we're about to talk about, our top five summer movies here on WEEI.